Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, July 28, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we are beginning at 1 John 3:10. Through the rest of chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, you better fasten your seatbelt. Clear the decks. Batten the hatches. Because the greatest dissertation in all of the Word of God on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life is right in these three chapters by the Apostle John. And it's fantastic. You'll probably get writer's cramp. Good. But this, for the next few months, our Thursday night class, there is nothing, absolutely nothing more important that you as a member of the royal family of God can learn, believe, and apply to your life in every area of your life. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In 1 John 3, 10b, this section starts in the second half of 1 John 3, verse 10. On through verse 18, we have a description of virtue love. In 1 John 3, 10b to verse 15, we have what virtue love is not, or the illustration of the necessity for the believer having virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And then in verses 16 to 18 of chapter 3, we have what virtue love is. And in this paragraph, we have a relationship between grace righteousness, which is a synonym for spiritual maturity, grace righteousness and impersonal love for all. There is a very close relationship between the sacred honor and virtue of the royal family honor code and impersonal love for all. And that is presented here. Nowhere else except the Apostle John in this great first epistle of John. The believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills will advance to spiritual maturity. He will attain grace righteousness, and he will have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And that is the greatest of great. He will manifest the sacred honor and integrity of the royal family honor code, which is impersonal love for all mankind. Now, you almost never see it today, even among Christians, but most Christians today are in apostasy. They're the problem, they're not the solution. But when you do see this, a believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to spiritual maturity, grace righteousness, having virtue love brought to completion in his heart, well, it's a huge spotlight shining in the darkness. And that's what a few spiritually mature believers are. Spotlights shining in the darkness. The United States of America today is a nation of darkness, a nation of apostasy. But there are few spotlights shining in the darkness. And that is what we're going to be studying. Hopefully, that'll be true of each one of you. Spotlight shining in the darkness. So the spiritually mature believer, the one who has attained grace righteousness, he will manifest sacred honor and integrity of the royal family honor code, which is impersonal love for all mankind. However, the believer who is living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, he has no grace righteousness. He has no virtue love, no impersonal love for all. He has instead, as a believer in Jesus Christ, he's made himself a disciple of the devil. Unfortunately, he's not a disciple of Jesus Christ. The winner believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is a disciple of Jesus Christ. The believer living in Satan's cosmic system has made himself the disciple of the devil. He has no grace righteousness. He has no virtue love. You see, there's no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. So 1 John 3:10b to verse 11 starts out the next, well, from here all the way to the end of 1 John. It says, anyone who does not do righteousness, that is, who does not produce grace righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student or a disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, that we, all members of the royal family of God, all believers, should love one another. And that is with impersonal love for all. An unconditional, unconditional, impersonal love for all. 1 John 3:10b emphasizes that there is a very close relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all is the overt manifestation of grace righteousness in your soul. Grace righteousness is the believer operating, living his life by the royal family honor code. He has sacred honor. He has integrity. He has virtue in his soul, which enables him to have impersonal love for all. This relationship between grace, righteousness, and impersonal love for all can only exist in the life of the believer who is living the spiritual life, that unique spiritual life given to us in the church age by the spiritual skills. This command to love one another with impersonal love was taught by our Lord Jesus Christ to the apostles. And as he taught these to the apostles, who was there? John was there. What are we studying? The first epistle of the apostle John. He was there as Jesus Christ taught these things. And of all of the disciples that were there around Christ as he taught, nobody got it like John did. Nobody got it like John did. And nowhere in all of the scriptures do you have a dissertation on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart, as you do in 1 John. In John chapter 13, this is the Gospel of John from In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus Christ was teaching. The apostle John was there listening. And Jesus taught, "A new command I give you." Notice, a new command. Not an option. It's a mandate. "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Who is there listening to Jesus Christ teach this? John. Who got it? John did. And then in John chapter 15, Jesus Christ is teaching again. And Jesus Christ says, "My command is this." Again, this is a mandate, not an option. "My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you." And then in verse 17, "This is my command. Love one another." And for all of the teaching by the Lord Jesus Christ and those who were around him and the disciples that were there, there was one disciple that was right with him. And that was the Apostle John. And now he is writing about all that in 1 John and chapter for the rest of this epistle. Chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Well, for those of you who have enough positive volition and humility and right priorities, well, you'll get here, and I'll guarantee you one thing, you're going to wind up with writer's cramp. Because we're going to go into it deeper than ever before. Because John goes into it deeper than ever before. Impersonal love emphasizes the subject, the one doing the loving. And that one doing the loving has, what does he have? Grace righteousness. He has sacred honor. He has virtue. He has integrity for all. And impersonal love, the object, doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference who the object is. Let's put something up here. The three little words. Now there's three little words, and they're easy to say, and this will illustrate the difference between personal love and impersonal love. By the way, personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God. Impersonal love emphasizes the subject, the one doing the loving. He has sacred honor. He has virtue. He has integrity. And therefore, it doesn't matter who the object is. It could be good, bad, ugly. Doesn't make any difference. Impersonal loves all. Unconditionally. This is unconditional love. Unconditional for the whole human race. Unconditional for all mankind. In our passage we're going to have in 1 John, it's impersonal love for all believers. All believers. And there are, that means reversionistic believers, loser believers, arrogant believers, those believers who hate you, those believers who malign you, judge you, slander you, gossip about you, but you operate with impersonal love toward them. You operate with sacred honor and virtue and integrity, and you doesn't make any difference who the object is. Impersonal love is an unconditional love. The emphasis is on the one doing the loving, having grace, righteousness, sacred honor, virtue, integrity. Now you switch that over. We'll get I love you again. That now we'll go to personal love. Personal love emphasizes the object. The only time personal love is a virtue is when that object is perfect, and that when that object is God the Father or God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then personal love is a virtue. But when you have personal love directed toward man, that's not a virtue. Any idiot can say, I love you. I can get a bird to say, I love you. What does that mean? Does the bird love you? Well, if you feed him. The only time that personal love is a virtue is when it's inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Now, personal love, this is what nobody understands love and personal love. And so you have friendship, you have romance, you have marriage. And in all of those, that's personal love for man. Romance, friendship, marriage. But if that personal love is not inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all, sacred honor, virtue, integrity, then it means nothing. Personal love for man is virtue dependent. Personal love for man is conditional. Personal love is conditional, it's for a few. Impersonal love is unconditional, it's for all. You're going to see some of these things again and again and again. Like Mae Walker, a lady that I met at Baraka Church. She had 11 terminal illnesses. 11 terminal illnesses. And I knew one of the men in Baraka who his responsibility was to pick her up, bring her to Baraka, then pick her up and take her back home again. And I was at his house for dinner, and Mae Walker was there for dinner. And he introduced me to Mae Walker, and she goes, Dick Olson, I know you. You're one of my boys. I said, ma'am, you're one of my boys. You're on the prayer list, and I pray for you every day. She did too. She was one of the greatest prayer warriors of all time. All time. And she was bound in a wheelchair. Bound in a wheelchair, 11 terminal illnesses. And I said, ma'am, thank you very much for praying for me every day. And I'll tell you, ma'am, I know you. Now I know why. With all that's going on, and with all that's going on at Dallas Theological Seminary, I got this fantastic prayer barrage coming primarily from you. So thank you very, very much. And she says, well, you have the gift of pastor teacher and you're preparing for the ministry. She says, that's great. Now, she says, I hear a lot of gossip around Baraka, and they're saying that Bob repeats too much. He repeats too much. And they don't know what they're talking about. He's not teaching us so we remember it. He's teaching it us so we'll never forget it. And so you have to repeat and repeat and repeat. I said, yes, ma'am, you are 100% right on that. Well, you're going to have a lot of these things for the next few months. You're going to hear things repeated and repeated and repeated because I'm not teaching you so you remember it. I'm teaching you so you'll never, ever forget it. Impersonal love emphasizes the subject, the one doing the loving, as having grace, righteousness, sacred honor, virtue, integrity, for all, unconditional, for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Impersonal love means you are free from mental attitude sins. Impersonal love means you have no sins of the tongue. You don't gossip about others. You don't malign or slander or judge others. Impersonal love emphasizes the character of the subject, grace, righteousness of the one who is doing the loving. This is in contrast to personal love, which emphasizes the attractiveness of the object. Impersonal love is the believer living the spiritual life and operating by the royal family honor code. In contrast to the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. You cannot produce impersonal love for one another when you are living in Satan's cosmic system. When you are in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, you will never, ever have impersonal love for one another. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. All virtue is in the spiritual life that God has given to us in the church age. You cannot love one another with impersonal love when you have mental attitude sins, when you hate others, when you are angry toward others, bitter toward others. You cannot ever, you will never have impersonal love for others when you have sins of the tongue, of judging and slandering and maligning your fellow believer. Impossible. You don't have impersonal love. You are in reality, you're not a disciple of God. You are a disciple of the devil, not Jesus Christ. So, he's starting out here, and he just started out just like, boom! Gave a shot across the bow. Anyone who does not do righteousness, who does not produce grace, righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student or disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love for all. Verse 11, because this is the command, command given by Jesus Christ to the royal family, which command you have heard from the beginning, that we, all believers, should love one another with impersonal love. All right. One. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Now, where was that taught? John already, he's already taught this. He was getting us queued up for it back in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, he says, if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, who's his word? The mandates of the word of God. Then, the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this, we know that we are abiding in him. And what is that word abiding? Meno, that special word for John describing the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So he's already getting us ready for what he's going to be doing the rest of 1 John. If anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, the mandates of God's word, then the love of God. Now, that phrase in English, the love of God. Hey, agape to theou. I'll even put it up here for you. You get to see some Greek. Hey, agape. There is the noun for virtue love. The love, virtue love. This is the genitive case of theos with the definite article. The love, genitive of the God. The love of the God, virtue love. What is God? God is love. What is his love? Virtue love, made up of impersonal love, unconditional impersonal love for all, and conditional personal love for a few. And we have studied that. We'll be studying it again and again and again and again. If anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, the mandates of God's word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this, that is by having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, by this we know that we are abiding in him. That is, that we are menoing, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So again, point one, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Two, virtue love is the greatest of all Christian virtues. Virtue love is the greatest of all Christian virtues. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Boy, that's a great verse. 13, 13. Some people think 13 is a bad number. Nah. 1 Corinthians 13, 13, it's the best number ever. By the way, my father, 13 was his lucky number, 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. But now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Virtue love. The greatest is virtue love. Virtue love is the greatest of all the Christian virtues. Three. Virtue love is made up of three great problem-solving devices. Three great problem-solving devices. The first one, personal love for God the Father. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and enter into spiritual adulthood, this will be the first one that's developed. This comes first. This has to come be. You will never, ever, ever have impersonal love for all until you first of all have personal love for God the Father. Personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue that motivates you to have impersonal love for all mankind. That's the second virtue. Impersonal love for all. Personal love for God the Father is developed first, motivates you to have impersonal love for all mankind. And the third virtue, occupation with Jesus Christ, which is personal love for Jesus Christ, or occupation with Christ. This is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue love brought to completion up here in your heart. And then you live your life by that. You live your life by the Royal Family Honor Code, sacred honor, virtue, integrity, toward all. Doesn't make any difference. Good, the bad, the ugly, the arrogant, those who hate you, those who love you, your friends or your enemies, makes no difference. You have sacred honor. Virtue, integrity. Why, we need that in America today. We have a lot of Christians in America. The problem is most of them are losers. Most of them are the problem. They're not the solution. And they do not have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Most of them have made themselves the disciple of the devil, but they're not the disciple of Jesus Christ. Four. Personal love for God the Father is the motivator that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. Now I know we're in 1 John 3 verses 10 and 11, but this is going to be amplified when we get to 1 John 4, so let's get to previews of coming attractions. Let's get over to 1 John chapter 4. We'll be there, maybe, before the rapture. 1 John 4. First John 4, verse 20. If anyone says, I love God. And he's talking about belief. By the way, all the way through John, he's talking about believers all the way through. There's only two times that he talks about an unbeliever, and that's when he talks specifically about the Antichrist in the tribulation. Otherwise, he's talking about believers. And here are, I can't tell you how many believers have said, I've listened to them say, I love God. Sounds great, doesn't it? I love God. And then they turn around, they have mental attitude sins toward their fellow believer. Then they turn around and they malign, slander, and judge their fellow believer. They don't love God. Absolutely. John says, you don't love God. You're a liar. And I can't tell you how many Christians out there are nothing but liars. I love God. No, you don't. How do I know that? Because you hate your fellow believer. So he says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his fellow believer, he is a, what? Liar. He's a liar. He doesn't love God at all. For anyone who does not love his fellow believer, impersonal love for all, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God, well, you must also love your fellow believer. All of them. So here's, if you don't have personal love for God, you'll never have impersonal love for all. I don't care what you say. Words are cheap. throw out the words, and you hear a lot of, I've been to seminary, for God's sake. And listen to Christians. I love God, and I do this, and I do that. And then I get those same people come and knock on my door when I'm at Dallas Seminary. And I open the door, and the guy standing there says, well, I just wanted to tell you that I hate you. I don't even know this guy. I said, you hate me? I said, well, what you ought to do is you ought to go to God, acknowledge your sins to God, and He'll forgive you. I said, I'm not God. I can't do anything about it. Just kind of interesting. Why do you hate me? Well, when we were going to class, you walked by me and you didn't say hi. Oh boy. I've gone by my own mother and not said hi sometimes. I didn't even recognize I'd gone by. These are Christians. Supposedly great Christians that really love God. They don't love God at all. There were a lot of them there at seminary. Didn't love God at all, but they're at seminary. So personal love for God the Father comes first. And then that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. Let's amplify 1 John 4:20 and 21 a little bit. One, if you hate your fellow believer, mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, then that's simply, you're simply shouting to the world that you have no personal love for God the Father. If you hate your fellow believer, mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, then you're simply shouting to the world that you have no personal love for God the Father. Talk is cheap, you're just a liar. That's what God says, too. If you really had personal love for God the Father, it would motivate you to manifest impersonal love for your fellow believer. All fellow believers. If you really had personal love for God the Father, it would motivate you to manifest impersonal love for your fellow believer. All fellow believers. Three, if you have no impersonal love for your fellow believer, unconditional love for all whom you have seen, then obviously you have no personal love for God the Father whom you have not seen. If you have no impersonal love, unconditional love for your fellow believer, all believers whom you have seen, then obviously you have no personal love for God the Father, whom you have not seen. Four, the mandate for the royal family is that the one who has personal love for God the Father must manifest impersonal love for his fellow believer. All of them. The fellow believers who love you, the fellow believers who hate you, the fellow believers who are your friends, the fellow believers who are your enemies. Now let's take the concept personal love. Personal love as a virtue, okay? Now, I've already said this, and when is personal love a virtue? Only when it's directed toward God. Toward man, it must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. It must be inside that integrity envelope of the Royal Family Honor Code, sacred honor and virtue integrity. So personal love as a virtue. One, personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God. It's only a virtue when it's directed toward God. Personal love for man is virtue dependent. Virtue dependent. It must be inside the integrity envelope, the Royal Family Honor Code. So, personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God. Two, personal love for God is the motivational virtue for the spiritual life. It is what motivates you to be obedient to the commands and mandates of God in His Word. God's got all these commands, all these mandates in His Word. What motivates you to obey them? To execute them? What? Your personal love for God. Personal love for God is the motivational virtue for the spiritual life. It's what motivates you to obey God's commands, God's mandates, and execute them. For example, three, you would not consistently attend Bible class unless you had learned enough Bible doctrine to have some appreciation for who and what God is. You wouldn't consistently attend Bible class unless you had learned enough Bible doctrine to have some appreciation for who and what God is. The Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. I believe that with all of my heart, soul, mind, 150,000%. The Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. And I have that. That has been my number one. Where did I learn that? From a couple of pastors that were the best pastors ever. Ron Breckel, pastor of Bethany Bible Church in Pullman, Washington. R.B. Thame, Colonel R.B. Thame at Baraka in Houston. And both of those pastors, the thing that I saw from them and took to my heart 100%, there is nothing more important than the Word of God. Nothing. Nothing. And that the Word of God is the God-breathed Scriptures, the absolute truth of God's communication to mankind. And I got that real early as I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ at Bethany Bible Church and reached spiritual adulthood, not spiritual maturity, but spiritual adulthood. I recognized that I had the gift of pastor-teacher, and I went on to Dallas Seminary to prepare for the ministry. And when I'd come home, I would come home and I had to work my ass off when I came home because seminary is not cheap, just like college is not cheap. Seminary is not cheap. My mom and dad had nothing to help me financially. That was fine. Their dad did work, mom stayed at home, and they had other family members to provide for. So I had to work my patootie off. When I came home for the summer, there was a fella in Pullman. He was a cement finisher. Well, I didn't know anything about being a cement finisher, but he was non-union, which I loved. He was non-union. So I said, I don't know anything about finishing concrete, but if you could use me, I will. He says, I will use you. He says, you're a big guy. You got big wingspan. You're going to do great. I'll teach you how to. I'll teach you all about it. And he did. He worked with me and taught me how to finish concrete. And we started at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Because it's in the summer. Concrete doesn't wait for anybody. When it goes, it goes. So you better stay on top of it. And we would get up at 4 in the morning and work our patooties off. And I said, there's only one thing that I would... If you could do this one thing, I have to be in Bible class every night because this pastor teaches every night. I need to be there. I don't care. I'll start any as early as you want to start, but you got to get me to the church on time. And he did. He did. I worked my tail off all morning and afternoon, and he would sometimes drop me off right before class, but I always was there in class, always, every time. Why? Because the Word of God was more important than the air that I breathed. That's why. Now that's not the thinking for most Christians today. It isn't. They're losers. There's a problem. They're not the solution. But there are a few that will stand up for God, for the Word of God, where the Word of God is more important than the air that they breathe. Well, he dropped me off, and I was there night after night after night. I had to earn money to go back to seminary because I had no money to go to seminary. But I worked as a cement finisher all summer, saved the money, to go back to seminary for one more year. I did that year after year after year for 4 years. And that was all logistical grace. Logistical grace. In fact, when I first came here, I've told you already, the church didn't have any money to pay me, so they didn't pay me. So I knew how to finish concrete, so guess what I did to earn money? I finished concrete in Las Vegas. And I was putting, different people gave me a job to finish concrete. Ronnie Espinoza gave me a job to finish concrete all over the city of Las Vegas. I was doing that, earning some money because the church couldn't pay me. They didn't pay me. But we had to pay the bills. So I worked all over the city of Las Vegas doing finishing concrete. I knew how to do that. And for the first few years, that was the way I had some income, along with the fact that my wife, Debbie, went to work as a school teacher, and she supported the pastor. So between her supporting the pastor and being a cement finisher while we were here, logistical grace, day after day after day, until finally I just kept studying and teaching until people started growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then things just... God takes over from there. All God's grace and all God's power. So you wouldn't consistently attend Bible class unless you had learned enough doctrine to have some appreciation for who and what God is. Because you have that appreciation, you are motivated to assemble with other believers to learn the absolute truth of the Word of God. 4, personal love as a virtue always emphasizes the object, which is God. Personal love as a virtue always emphasizes the object, which is God. Five, personal love for the human race has no virtue unless it resides inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all, the Royal Family Honor Code. Personal love for the human race has no virtue unless it resides inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all, the Royal Family Honor Code. Sacred honor and virtue and integrity. Six, virtue in personal love must exist in the perfect object, God the Father and God the Son. Virtue in personal love must exist in the perfect object, God the Father and God the Son. God the Father is the author of Operation Grace, the cross, and the spiritual life given to us in the church age becomes the object of our personal love. And God the Son, as our Lord and Savior, is also the object of our personal love, which we call occupation with Jesus Christ. So virtue and personal love must exist in the perfect object, God the Father and God the Son. Seven, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, personal love for God the Son, is the result of consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. Fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ is the result of consistent and faithful perception and metabolization of Bible doctrine, fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue love, brought to completion in your heart. And this is what is important in loving God. Some of you truly love God because you have live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You have enough of the Word of God in your soul to love Him. 8. It is impossible to love God who is invisible apart from knowing Him. It is impossible to love God who is invisible apart from knowing Him. The more you know the Word of God, this is the Word of God. This isn't my Word. I didn't write it. I'm old, but not that old. This is the Word of God. It's also called the mind of Christ. This is the thinking of Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. It's the thinking of Christ. It's also called the voice of the Spirit. The Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit. The more you know the Word of God, the more you know the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit, the more you will love God. In fact, you will love God more than life itself. And that's the winner believer. The winner believer loves God more than life itself. So it's easy for us to know what God is thinking. He's given it to us. Here is the thinking of Christ, the mind of Christ. It's easy to learn. All you have to have is positive volition and humility, respect for God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. That's all it takes. And then grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. It's easy to know what God is thinking. He's given it to us. However, it's very difficult to know what people are thinking. When a person says, I love you, well, maybe they do. Maybe they don't. You don't know. It may be wrapped up in hypocrisy, false motivation, or zero capacity. Therefore, you are easily deceived by people. Here's a principle. grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ before you get into permanent relationships like marriage. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ before you get into permanent relationships like marriage. Without the absolute truth of God's word in your heart, the flaws take over and destroy friendship and romance and marriage. Another principle. With maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that leads to great capacity for life, great capacity for love, great capacity for happiness. With maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that leads to great capacity for life, for love, for happiness. 9. We are commanded to love God with virtue love. We are commanded to love God with virtue love. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Old Testament. You can find it. It's in the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these commands are to be in your heart. 10. While personal love for God is a mandate, personal love for man, such as friendship or romance or marriage, is an option. While personal love for God is a mandate, personal love for man, such as friendship, romance, or marriage, that's an option. You are never commanded in the Word of God to have a friend. In fact, you're probably better off if you have, the fewer friends you have, the better you are. I always go into some of these stores and the salesman, "Hi, friend." I'm not his friend. Never seen this Yehu before. I do have a few friends, and they're great. On the same page, think the same absolute truth, grace, and truth. And those friends are awesome. But you're never commanded in the Word of God to have a friend or to have romance. Or to get married. God never commands you to get married. I know believers that never married and they were very happy. I know believers that got married and they were very unhappy. Now, and I know some believers that are married and they're very happy too. But why? Because they have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Their personal love is inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. They are living by the sacred honor of the royal family honor code. And that means the husband loves his wife when she's at her worst, and the wife loves the husband when he's, and obeys the husband when he's at his worst. And how does that happen? Because personal love is inside the integrity envelope of the Royal Family Honor Code. You see, God laid out the mandates for the husband and the wife in marriage. Husband, you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, what is that? How did Christ love the church and gave himself up for her? That's the cross. And Jesus Christ went to the cross. And while he was on the cross, he willingly received the sins of the whole world, your sins, my sins, the whole world. What set him there? Impersonal love for all mankind, the whole world. He willingly went to the cross. What motive? The motivation was his personal love for God the Father. His personal love for God the Father motivated him to carry out Operation Grace, the cross. And impersonal love was directed to the whole world. He willingly took the sins of the whole world and the judgment for those sins. He loved the whole world. Jesus Christ loved the whole world when the world was not lovely. At its worst, spiritually dead, totally depraved, no damn good. So when it says in Ephesians, love your husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that means love your wife when she's at her absolute worst. And the only way you can do that is with impersonal love for all. Your personal love must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Sacred honor, virtue, integrity. It doesn't make any difference whether she's at her best or at her worst. Impersonal love depends on the one doing the loving. Your sacred honor, men. Your sacred honor, your virtue, your integrity, husbands. And for the wife, same thing. Impersonal love is seen, the mandate's given to obey, obey. Sounds like pig Latin. Obey. Obey your husband. But maybe you ought to read those passages again. In all things. How do you do that? Personal love is inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Sacred honor. Virtue, integrity. And when the husband and the wife fulfill those mandates that God has set up, now their personal love is inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Guess what? That marriage is successful and happy. There is great happiness and blessing in that marriage. So God never commands you to have a friend or a romance or get married, but you are commanded to love God the Father. You are commanded to love the Lord Jesus Christ with personal love, and you are commanded to love all mankind with impersonal love. Yeah. We're just beginning to fight. We got three more chapters. So you better keep your, when you come in here, fasten your seatbelts. Hang on. Batten the hatches. Because we're going to dive. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.